When I think about Palm Sunday, I think about a big party in the street, just like people shouting and they can't even think straight. They're so happy and palm leaves are like flying like confetti and it's just a big party. And so I thought, what better title for today's talk than It's Party Time? But okay, so I think, like I just told you, I think of Palm Sunday as this big party, right? You know, it's kind of like the Macy's Day Parade, except for there's just one attraction. There's just one thing that everybody's come out for, and everyone is just cheering, and they're all about Jesus, and they're so excited. And I've always pictured it that way in my head. And then one day, I thought, how did the party get started? Did people just start spontaneously shouting? Or, you know, did Jesus, like, show up in the city entrance on his donkey and someone, like, started the slow clap? And then it grew, you know? It's probably not the way it happened, but it would be cool if it was. I'm thinking about that, and I'm like, how did the party get started? So I checked out the Palm Sunday situation in the Gospels. And this is what John 12:17 says. This stuck out to me. It says, "Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word." So the crowd that was with Jesus, the people that got to know Jesus, the people who saw Jesus raise a man from the dead, saw Jesus working in power, and they saw that and they realized, it clicked in their head, this is the Son of God. This is the Messiah that we've been waiting for. And this is the group of people that started praising. They didn't let it pass them by, but they realized who Jesus was. And they couldn't contain their praises about it. And the Bible says that this is the same group of people that spread the word to the rest of the city. Verse 18 says, "Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him." They were so excited and so amazed and at the realization and what they had just seen that they had to go tell people. And the Bible says that because this group of people were praising the Lord freely and telling others what they had heard, that many people came out to meet Jesus that day in Jerusalem. Now, on this side of the resurrection, it's our privilege and our opportunity to be that group of people. See, we're the ones that know Jesus. We're the ones that have seen him and experienced him in our lives. And it's our privilege to praise him about it, to not hold back our praises, but to praise him freely about it and tell other people what he has done for us, what he has done in our lives. We're the ones that have experienced him, experienced healings of sickness and financial situations taken care of and a word of comfort right when all you need is a word of comfort. Eternal life. I mean, the list could go on of all of the things that we have to praise the Lord for and tell others about that he has done in our lives. And the Bible says that many will come and meet him. Many came out and met him because of that. I mean, that gives us such purpose. All right, let's move on to the next verse. Verse 19 says, "So the Pharisees said to one another, 'See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him.'" So the people are partying and praising in the streets, and they're all just so excited about who Jesus is and that he's there. And this completely ticks the Pharisees off. Like, they are not happy about this. And it goes against all of the scheming and the, you know, plotting that they've been doing. I mean, this is the man who has been exposing them and their hardened hearts, their dead hearts, at every turn, and he's getting praised in the streets by the crowd. And this was kind of like the last straw for the Pharisees. So that stuck out to me when I was reading, and I got to thinking, what if the people hadn't praised? What if the people had seen what they saw and been like, wow, that was really cool. Jesus just raised someone from the dead. Sweet. You want to go to lunch? And just moved on. You know, what if the people hadn't praised? What if the people hadn't, you know, opened themselves up and just gone for it and just surrendered their energy and their words and just praised Jesus in that moment? What if they hadn't done that? And then the Pharisees would have been like, oh, great, there's Jesus again. And, you know, Jesus would have still been the same. Jesus is still powerful, whether the people praised him or not. Jesus is still the Son of God, whether the people praised him or not. But God used the people's praise to get his plan, the ball rolling in his plan. He used the people's praise to start the process of what would happen in the rest of the week, to get the ball rolling in his plan. A lot of you know that in the past week, Ryan and I have watched Chris and Leanne's boys. And it was really, really fun. It was a good experience, and we had a great time. On Saturday, we took all the kids, all five kids, plus Colin and Caleb, to bowling. And it was really fun. We were a hot mess in the bowling alley, and everyone was probably like, wow, they're really loud, but it was really fun. And Kylie got to bowl. Kylie had this ramp, and she would push the ball off the ramp, and it would roll down the lane and knock over the pins, and she was all about it. Like, she was hopping around. She was so excited, and every time we walked back, she'd say, Am I going to get to do that again? It was really cute. So when I was thinking about this, about God's plan, the ball getting rolling, that image popped into my head. And I saw God at the bowling alley, and his bowling ball was like this big gemstone, and he had this golden ramp. And, you know, at the bowling alley, when you have to wait for the machine to go up and down, and you have to wait for the balls to get sucked back in so that you can throw your next one, they get sucked back into that conveyor belt, and you have to wait for them to come down, you have to wait for the pins to drop, you have to wait for the thing to come up. Kylie would just be standing there. Can I go yet? Can I? She was just like, all she could do not to push that bowling ball. And then finally it was time, and we'd say, okay, Kylie, go ahead. And she's like, okay. She'd push the ball. And I pictured God with his gorgeous gem bowling ball, and he's just waiting. And he's waiting for everything to be right. He's waiting for the people's hearts to be right, to be focused on him instead of themselves. He's waiting for the praises of his people. And then all of a sudden, the party starts, and the praises begin. And his people are looking to him, and everything is right, and he pushes the ball, and he's so excited because his plan is at work and it's moving. And you know what? It may knock some things down in our lives, and it may seem like it's not a good thing. You know, the rest of that week after Palm Sunday, if I had been there, I probably would have thought, yeah, this is really going downhill. Things are really falling apart here. And Jesus ended up dying on a cross. But those things that get knocked down in God's plan, it's necessary for the victory. It's necessary for us to win. And Jesus had to die on the cross for us to get the victory over sin, for the victory over the devil. This is powerful. And all of this stuff got started with the people's praises. Whew, that's good. So it's party time. The question is, what kind of party are you throwing? Are you throwing a praise party or a pity party? Are you surrendered in your praise, or are you stubborn? Let's look at Luke 19, 41 through 44. It says, this is talking about Jesus, and it says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Jesus wept for the people who would not recognize him. It shows that his heart for people who do not know him or who pull away from him is not revenge, but remorse. It breaks his heart for us not to recognize him or not to come close to him. And, you know, Christians don't draw close to him too, sometimes. Sometimes as Christians, we can hold God at arm's length. We know who he is, but we don't take full advantage of the closeness that is available to us. You know, God has given us the road. He's given us the direction. And it's our choice to close that distance between him and us. But often we allow our own inadequacies to hold us back from God in praise. And we think, well, I can't get over this struggle in my life, and I had a really bad week, and I screwed up again, and I can't praise God. Who am I to think I can enter into God's presence? I can't tell you how many times I'm up here for a worship team, and I think over the last week that I've had, and I'm like, who am I to be praising God right now? But you know what? Thank God that I'm not good enough, because he's bigger than all my problems or my worries or my fears, and he's stronger than all that. And when I think of that, it reminds me of my need for him and why I'm praising him in the first place, because like Chris was sharing earlier, when I'm weak, he's strong, and his strength is stronger than anything I can come up with. There's this worship leader by the name of Misty Edwards, and she sang these words prophetically, so they're from the perspective of the Lord. And it says, she's saying, I knew what I was getting into when I called you. I knew what I was getting into when I said your name, but I said it just the same. And I'm not shocked by your weakness, and I'm not shocked by your sin, and I'm not shocked by your brokenness. I knew what I was getting into, and I still want you. I knew what I was getting into, and I still like you. I knew what I was getting into, and I still chose you. Because only I can see the end from the beginning, and only I can see where this is going. Just don't give up, and don't give in. Everything is in my hands. That is so powerful to remember. And when we lay down those inadequacies or insecurities of praising the Lord, and we just go for it and join the praise party, then you start to remember who you are in God. I'm not defeated. I'm a conqueror and co-heir with Christ. And Jesus is preparing a home for me in heaven right now where I belong. And I don't have time for a pity party. I'm going to praise. I could be stubborn. I could not raise my hands or not open my heart up to the Lord. You know, what's the difference? We're going to get through the songs, and then we're going to get through the sermon, and then I'm going to go home. What's the difference? I could be stubborn, but it's way more fun to be in God's presence. It is way more fun to open myself up and allow the Lord to speak to me, allow myself to be vulnerable to him and to experience who he is. That's where the life comes from in our relationship with him. That's what makes it alive and breathing, that we can experience this living God. And praise is so powerful. It changes our lives and it starts things. In the plan of God, it starts things. True to my fashion, in closing, let's be the crowd who sees Jesus and doesn't let it pass. pass us by, doesn't let him pass us by, but takes a moment and just realizes, really lets it click who this Jesus is. He is God, he is King, he is Lord of Lords, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a Savior, he is a Comforter, he is a Friend, he is everything to us. This Jesus, I mean, he's my whole world. And that is worth talking about. That's worth praising him for. He is everything. And let's not let that pass us by, but let's be that crowd who has the courage to open up our mouth and praise him and open up our hearts and allow him to knock down some bowling pins, because we trust him and we know that he has the victory in mind. I trust him to knock down some bowling pins in my life. So let's be that crowd who praises him, who people hear us praising and talking about God, and they say, he did what? He did what? That's awesome. I want to know him. We're going to close in praise like we've been talking. Let's everybody stand to our feet. Jesus, we thank you for who you are today. We thank you for all of the things that you've given us, all of the reasons that we have to praise you, Lord, and for, if nothing else, just for who you are, Lord, as Creator and Lord of our lives, Lord. Yes, Lord. We thank you for who you are to us, Lord, and that we can lay burdens at your cross, Lord, that we can come to you, that we can experience freedom and life in you, Lord. We praise you, Father, right now. We want to lift up our praises. We want to join the praise party, Lord, and we want to continue. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are.